As you're building your applications, you need to bring in extra functionality. We all know how to do it. We go to NuGet. But NuGet has changed. It's getting better and better and better. Wouldn't it be cool to talk to the guy who owns NuGet and see all the cool intricacies? That's what we're talking about on this episode of Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry, and I'm here with Jeff Fritz. Yes, the Jeff Fritz, program manager for the NuGet program, for the NuGet package manager and everything there is to do with NuGet. Jeff, hey, thanks for being on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jerry. It's great to be here.
It's cool to have you, too. I know a lot of stuff's going on with NuGet. A lot of developers are wondering what they should be looking for and what they can see. And I think this is an awesome opportunity because NuGet, we're at version 3 right now. NuGet 3, is it a good place to really start talking to developers about what they can do to take advantage of it?
Oh, yeah. We're actually, it's NuGet 3.3 right now.
Okay.
But technically, yeah, we still call it NuGet Major Version 3. The protocol version is 3. We've updated the way that you can talk to our services, and we've added some great new features that make it easier and simpler to manage those references in your project.
Okay, so we get hundreds of thousands of developers watching this show. There's bound to be one who doesn't know what NuGet is, so just in the elevator pitch, what's NuGet in the first place?
So NuGet is a package manager that's going to help manage those references inside of your project. So many of us have run into this problem where you've got DLLs littered all over disk, right? And you want to go find them from this vendor-specific folder because you installed their tools, and you want to go grab it from this open source project that you want to reference and use their tools. So you download it and put those download files inside of some temp folder, and you have to grab all these DLLs and
or a network share that your whole team can somehow access.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a nightmare.
You're herding cats, but they're DLLs, and you want to get them all in one place so you can reference them in your project. And then even worse, after you commit it to source control and you pull it back out of source control on another machine, now you have to go find all those DLLs again and fix up all those references.
Right. Better is Visual Studio automatically excludes all those DLLs, so you have to go and force them to be part of source control as well. So it's even more hilarious. Mm-hmm. Now, so NuGet is a catalog of DLLs that I can go and pull into my project, and I reference them in an easy way inside my project, so there's the system that you built goes and gets them from that catalog.
So you're really close. I want to clarify one or two things about what you said there. So NuGet as a package manager delivers that package and puts it in one place on disk that your project will be able to find it. So you're right. We're going to herd and get those all in one place. And we also provide that repository service, that public repository, mm-hmm. where you, me, your favorite software vendor can upload their packages in a unified format so that when I want to reference whatever open source project or vendor library, I can go there, download it, and it'll be placed in the same location every time for Visual Studio and my project to reference. So
and
I get
all
that
versioning I want to do. If I get this app that I'm working on is 1.0.1, but this one is 1.0.2 and I have a dependency, you handle all of that by keeping every version all the way up the line.
Yep. So really the public repository we keep we keep all versions up there. Any package that's uploaded, we will keep it up there. But package owners can unlist and say, you know what, I'm not making this available for new people to add.
Yeah.
And you can still download and get all the packages for all time that you may have referenced into your application.
I have to tell you, the fact that you can't delete a version, I get it, right? People already have a dependency on it, possibly, so you can't go delete it. But I've uploaded versions of Template 10 where I'm embarrassed. I just wish I could take it down, you know, but there it is. At least it's unlisted. That's the best I can do. But so, somebody could manually go get it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there are some circumstances where
I put my keys in by mistake, something like that.
Yes, where NuGet support can get involved and we can remove things entirely from the index. It's an extreme situation. We don't encourage it, but you're right. If you leave an API key in there, if you leave a password, we can help you out. It takes a couple extra steps, but it
and
is possible.
A user can get involved too. If a developer realizes this package that's up in NuGet.org is actually it's bad, right? Not bad like quality, but bad like it's wrecking people's machines. It's there as a Trojan. Mm-hmm. Then you can take care of that as well. So there are those situations. Now, you keep saying public repository, and I think a lot of developers don't know that NuGet can be right there inside your enterprise as well, just dedicated to your team.
Absolutely, and that's a great point. There's a lot of organizations that they've got regulations on them. They've got different concerns regarding security that they want to keep these things inside their firewall, protected and secured and validated. So what you can do is you can stand up either a network share or you can set up an internal service. There's a number of vendors out there that make NuGet services that you can install on-prem and host your version of packages, or perhaps packages that your organization has approved and effectively blessed as being acceptable.
Right,
your legal team is reviewed.
And I'm safe inside. And I can even put my own, right? Because we have five projects internally. They all reuse these handful of libraries that we've done. These are custom. These are internal. This has, we may even have API keys in it. We don't care because we're only going to use them for us. So we put them inside our private NuGet and everything's taken care of. And it pulls down using the same mechanisms that pull from the public NuGet as well.
Absolutely. You can use the exact same tools to access the public repository, to access your internal repositories, to access other public repositories that are out there from other services.
Right. That doesn't have to be just NuGet.org. That's a good point. That's a great point.
The entire NuGet ecosystem is open source. Services, clients, protocol, it's all available online at github.com if you want to go and learn more about how the internals work.
Cool. Now, one of the things that you briefly kind of touched on this, but I think it's important for everybody to know, if this is a large package, let's just say it's, I don't know, let's say it's 100 megabytes. That's a pretty good size package, but let's say it has to be that big for whatever reason. I don't pull that down every time I use it. You actually create almost a baby NuGet cache inside my local device.
Sure. We do. There are local caches on your device to make sure that we don't have to go out and download new versions of the exact same file every time. So let's take MVC, for example, right? System Web MVC. If you're going to reference inside of an ASP.NET application that same MVC framework, we're not going to go out and download it every time for every project. Yeah, we'll put it down in one location. Oh my gosh, you'd hate us.
Yeah.
We'll put it down on one location and we'll start referencing it from there.
Yeah. And the referencing is an important part too, because that's such a large package, not that one, but any package that's a really large package, isn't ballooning on your disk until you actually start building it. Right. So you actually save space as well.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
So in earlier versions of NuGet, we would download and actually put a separate copy of that package inside of a packages folder right next to your application every time you would install a project. In our new model...
And then every developer wondered, should I include that in source control? Because it doesn't seem like it's working correctly. And that was back with the XML file. And that's one of the big changes that NuGet 3 has introduced. So let's talk about the XML file. Let's talk about the JSON file.
Well, let me address that question you had first. Do I commit this packages folder to source control? And that's a question I've gotten a lot. Do I really want to do that? And there's two schools of thought to this. One is, well, you're always going to be downloading packages from NuGet.org or from your internal repository. So don't. You've already got those packages somewhere accessible to you.
Take up less space in source control.
Yeah, save space. But there's another school of thought, and I'm going to put my DevOps hat on for a second.
Okay.
And I want to rebuild production from source code exactly the same way every time.
And don't even think about the NuGet client. I just want to get it every time the way I want it.
I just want to be able to run build and have the exact same thing.
We're going back to the beginning of this conversation where I would have a network folder with all the references that all of my team needs. That's the same sort of idea, only it's the packages subfolder in my solution.
Yep. So those people, to them I say, you know what? Yeah, take that packages folder, and when you do take a snapshot for production deployment, sure, go ahead and commit it. If you have that level of concern, if you have that level of reliability that you need to meet for your customers.
So your answer to that question of including packages is it depends. It's not a sure thing of yes or no. And now, probably for the normal developer, like a guy working on something by himself, perhaps just relying on NuGet, but as soon as they start getting into automated builds and things like this, perhaps it's the right thing. Interesting. This is really fascinating. Okay, so that makes sense. Now, let's talk about the files that control all of this. Inside my project, inside my solution, I have this packages.config. That's the XML file that's always been there when I'm using NuGet. Talk to me about how that works and why we changed it.
So you're right, packages.config, it's a config file because we're .NET. We like to name our configuration files .config, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's got XML in it. And it's just a list of all the various packages that you have referenced in your project, along with versions, right? And we that's important because we want to make sure we bring down the correct copy of that DLL, that correct reference, and make it available inside of your application. But what happens with this is when I add a reference to I'm going to pick on MVC, right? When I start that fresh ASP.NET application, because I'm a web guy, I'm going to download MVC, I'm going to download Entity Framework, and all these other little things come along for the ride that I didn't really ask for, right? I get other things like
that's right.
Newtonsoft JSON, right? The JSON.NET package. And I get some other things that come along for the ride. This Antler thing. What are these things that get installed? But they're all added into my packages config file.
Yeah.
And these are actually those dependencies you were talking about where they built MVC, but they needed a reference to JSON.NET to give it the JSON functionality. So that comes along and is listed inside my packages config file.
Yeah.
So, right, my initial packages config file lists 20, 30, 40 packages just when I say file new. And that's okay because it gives us the ability to maintain and upgrade and patch these DLLs as updates are made available. Cool. We don't have to wait for a new version of Visual Studio, a new version of Windows, or even a service pack to come out. It's just, hey, we've got a patch that's applied. It's one of these things, and the NuGet clients will go and based on what's in my packages config, update appropriately from the public repository.
But that was a complex thing. A lot of developers would open up that XML file, and they would just cross their eyes, right? They weren't 100% sure, and it was really, it was a delicate operation if you were going to go in there and make a change. More than likely, a developer was going to get it wrong.
Absolutely. I mean, XML configuration, you might leave off a quote. You might miss an end angle bracket, right? These things happen. And it also felt a little duplicated, right? I've got a list
of
here's all the things I want to reference inside of this packages config file. But I've also got it sitting over here inside this csproj or vbproj file.
That's right.
That is referencing basically the same thing.
And it felt like every time I would use NuGet, it would check out my CSproj file and make all kinds of changes, which it wasn't a big deal. I don't care, but you and I are working as a team, and now we get to merge, and if there's anything we hate to merge, it's the solution file and project files, right? Those are the things you can get wrong so easily.
Absolutely, and that's the way that NuGet in earlier versions worked. It was, I would install these packages, put them down on disk, and then insert appropriate references into those project files for whatever contents came along inside my project file.
Yeah.
Not just DLLs, but also maybe some JPEGs, some images, or some fonts that I wanted to reuse so that I had the same branding in my Windows Phone application that I have in my web application. I want to reuse that same static content, right? It's not binary.
Okay. That's the nightmare.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about, I think we all experienced how difficult it was, right? I think it's worth at least a nod to say it, but it totally worked. We've used it for years and years, and we could get around kind of the edges that were sharp, but it worked. But eventually we got to a threshold of we could just do this better. And that's where NuGet 3 sort of introduced a whole new world. That's where I want to kind of transition into. What have we done that's new? How have things changed for developers?
Sure. So we took that concept of packages config and we said, you know what? Yeah, there's duplication here. There's all these other things in here that I, as the developer of my application, don't really care about. Why am I managing the JSON.NET version that's being carried along here when I'm not actually using that?
Yeah,
right?
Plus, if you go in and monkey with it, you're going to break everything.
Yeah. So we took some of these ideas And we also took the idea of XML and said, you know what? Yeah, XML is hard to, can be hard to manage, can be easy to break.
Let's move this. Verbose as well, yes.
Yeah. So we moved into a JSON format, right? This project.json format that allows us to define more than just our packages, but other information about how the application needs to reference these external dependencies. And it also gives us the ability to say, you know what? We're going to support the ability to only define those packages that you directly reference, and the dependencies that they bring along. Our NuGet client is smart enough that we'll go and figure those out, calculate them at package restore time,
and hide them.
Bring them along for the ride and hide them where you, the developer, don't need to see them, but where the build system can see them and reference them when it needs it.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's, and I mean, to be fair, what you did in Project JSON, we could have done with an XML file, but
sure,
it's just easier to interact with something that's just data oriented like this. And it's sort of the format du jour, to be honest, of things that are awesome.
CSV but now just wasn't going to work for our
needs. Yeah, can you imagine? But one of the things we started to talk about, that you've started to talk about, is the way these dependencies come and go. And so there's a lot of new terms that you guys have introduced. So walk us into the transitive dependency.
Oh, okay. So the idea here with this transitive dependency concept is where we had all of those packages, both the things that you directly referenced and indirectly referenced because it was a dependency that another package brought into your project, those direct and indirect references, we're separating them, and those indirect references are what we call transitive dependencies. These are the things that we are... we're going to go out and fetch behind the scenes, bring down and hide from you, the developer, right? We're transitioning, we're traversing the dependency graph to go find those things and only bring them in when you need them. Not because you specified them, but because somebody else did and you need it in order to make that thing work.
I specified them kind of by specifying a package that specifies them. It's sort of two layers down. They were specified, so it has to be in there, otherwise I can't use it. But it also is at my scope as well. I mean, if I reference your project or your NuGet package and your NuGet package uses JSON.NET, that is now in scope for me to be able to use as well. Is that right?
Right. Yep, yeah. You will be able to see and reference those things, but it's only because it came along for the ride. It's, you know, that's kind of the world that we live in .NET, that you can't really hide those private references because it's come along for the ride. It's in the same app domain as you, so you can access it.
There's a lot going on here, so... the nice thing is, it used to be that in the old NuGet, I would reference your library, and your library would come down, but I wouldn't get JSON.NET, and so I would have to reference that myself. Now all that's handled for me, and I would get it through, right? That's one of the improvements.
Well, actually, when you did that, when you would call install package, or when you would go into the user interface and add the package that I wrote, let's call it foo, and if foo had a reference to JSON.NET, when that install package would execute, it would actually silently insert a line into package's config.
And I would actually have it. Now, how do you handle conflicts? How do you handle where your project actually uses JSON.NET 1.1 and I use 1.2? How do you handle conflicts between those packages?
That's a great question. It's a very opinionated question because there's one school of thought that says, you know what? Let's use the lowest common version because... Mm-hmm. That's something that I can always restore. I know that between 1.1 and 1.2, the lowest common version that we both support is going to be 1.2 because 1.1, based on semantic versioning, should also support 1.2. So we're going to bring in that 1.2 because it's the lowest common version. But there's another school of thought of people who are they're a little bit more aggressive about how they want to bring in things. They want to make sure they get the latest stuff, so they always get those security patches, they get the latest APIs, and they don't have
always
to think
about it.
Yes. And And you know what? That's a great place to be if you're working on the latest and greatest stuff, if you want to make sure that you always have those patches. So there's ways to say, you know what? Give me the latest patch version that matches me also. There's a configuration option inside of your NuGet.config file, and it's also a command line switch, where you can set the dependency resolution formula that you want. So you can either say get the lowest version.
Gotcha. Or get what's the default out of the box?
So out of the box, it's the lowest version, the lowest common version.
Gotcha. So use 1.1, you use 1.2, we're going to get 1.1 together.
We're going to get 1.2 together because that should be supported by both. But when 1.3 comes out, even though you requested 1.1, requested 1.2, we'll restore 1.2 because that's the lowest required common version.
I see. That's the lowest between us that we need. 1.3 is something else. I got you.
Perfect. Right.
So, and if I don't like that, I go into NuGet.config and I make those changes myself. And then I can be on this bleeding edge if that's what I want to be.
Right. Or like you said, you can go in the config file. We have an option in the user interface. You can set how aggressive you want NuGet to resolve those. Always get me the latest. Give me the latest minor version or get me the latest patch version that when there is a 1.2.1 that fixes a security issue that's in there, it'll automatically grab that during the next update and bring that in.
Cool. And as a developer, I can, in my individual project, I can set that up manually too, right? I can go into project.json and I can see that I get, you know, Jeff's library 1.1.0. Mm-hmm. And I can go in and say 1.1.*, and from that point forward, I've for that project only, I don't have to do it globally, I'm always getting every patch update that you have. So if you have 1.1.1 come out because you fixed a typo or something like that, I get that the next time I build. Or the next time I build, and if I've set it to go ahead and get it, because that's part of the settings. In fact, let's just transition to the developer's experience in Visual Studio for a second.
So, the other configuration thing you can do.
I'm going to interrupt everything. I'm sorry, Jeff.
You are, man. So the other configuration thing you can do, not just NuGet.config at the user level, right? So NuGet.config is a configuration file that exists at the machine level and exists at the developer level. It sits in your user folder. And it really sets up some preferences for how you want NuGet to be configured, how you want to work with your projects. Mm-hmm. And you can see some of the settings around that when you look in the Visual Studio interface in the settings there. And we'll take a look at that in a bit. But you can also put a NuGet config file inside your project, inside your solution. And the NuGet clients will walk up that hierarchy. So if it's
awesome.
Yeah, if it sees a config file in your project, then it will use that file first and then apply your personal settings that are under your user profile folder on the workstation. And if there isn't one there, it'll finally end up at the machine level one that's sitting under C program files, NuGet, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so it could be machine level, it could be developer or user level, it can be, and did you say solution level as well?
Solution level, yeah.
So and where does that go? Just anywhere in the solution folder? Does it have to be part of the solution itself?
No, it actually needs to be on disk next to the SLN file.
Okay.
In that same root folder. So what we've seen is that a number of open source projects, including ASP.NET actually, will put a NuGet config file right at the root next to their solution folder so that when they do restores or when they do updates or they deploy packages, they're pointing to the same repositories that they want to be working on for their continuous integration environment, for, you know, whatever development environment.
That's terrific. That is terrific.
Yeah. Everybody gets the same settings, and we've all seen the configuration options where you can have elements that are clear, remove, and add. So they'll put a clear at the top so that all of your private settings get wiped out, but their project settings get added at that point, and then you can go and use those, and everybody gets the same configuration out of source control.
Everybody in your whole team then gets the same. So you have to worry that they've set up their environment properly or not, because now it's all source control. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very, very cool. All right, so here, do you have Visual Studio installed?
Do I have Visual Studio?
That's a great question.
What flavor would you like? I've got 2013. I've got 2015. I've got Code. No,
I want 15 for sure. Let's share desktops and let's kind of walk through a developer experience. And then eventually, I want to kind of head towards what if a developer wanted to actually leverage NuGet for their own library as well. But let's take a second and share desktops.
Cool.
Okay, Jeff, I can see Visual Studio up, and it looks like this might be an MVC site.
Yeah, actually, yeah, this is an MVC site. It's actually even worse than just an MVC site. It's an MVC site that has web forms running in it also.
Okay.
But either way, this is a packages config that has a lot of references in it. And, right, we were talking about this. Each one of these lines, it's a reference to a package name and a version. And for this one application, I've got 38 lines, right? I've got
38 lot of stuff.
Yeah, right. 30 some packages in there, and that's a lot going on to manage. And there's things in here that I'm not really using directly, right? Like the Microsoft.NET compilers here on line 23. I'm not coding with the .NET compilers. I don't reference them directly.
Well, just delete that line then, Jeff.
Why don't I just delete that line? Because you know what? Somewhere down the line,
you wouldn't be the first developer to have done that.
No, somewhere down the line, I'm going to get a crash because it's not able to find and reference those compilers.
Right.
So, and here, friendly URLs core. Well, I'm going to use friendly URLs, but I don't care what's in core.
Sure. Go manage. As a developer, you want your application to be lean. And so you're like, well, I'm going to look at this. This is almost like startup apps on your desktop. You're like, well, I don't use that. I don't use that. I don't use that. I don't use that. And so you remove them, and all of a sudden you can't print.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And now I'm cussing at my printer. So we wanted to simplify and get this in a format that isn't as daunting and gets me more direct and focused on exactly what I need in my application.
All right, so how does this improve? This is NuGet 2, I guess. Is that the right number?
Well, this is how it was built in NuGet version 1 and NuGet 2. But in starting with NuGet 3, we support the project JSON structure. You can still use this format with a NuGet 3 project. So,
if you have both files in a project, which one wins?
Which one wins? So it depends. If you have packages config and project JSON in an ASP.NET 5 or ASP.NET Core project. Mm-hmm. Packages config loses and Project JSON wins because Project JSON is very central to that experience. Same thing with a UWP project. Project JSON is central to that and it doesn't look at packages config.
Okay.
Really, Project JSON will be found and used first instead of a packages config because that's where we want to start getting people moved to.
Yeah.
We don't offer explicit support for Project JSON inside of those other project types like a console application or a WPF application. You can add it to the application and it might work. We don't have any guarantees around it. There's some things that'll determine whether or not that'll work properly.
Sounds like the best thing is to stick to one or the other.
Yeah, we absolutely. Okay. Choose one or the other, but
How do you upgrade? If I'm using a package config today and I want to upgrade to project.json, what do I need to introduce a project.json file and go into unload my project file, delete all those references, and then manually add them back somehow?
No. So right now there really isn't a story in a project system where you would be upgrading from packages config to project JSON. That isn't something that we support in those two primary project systems that do drive and support project JSON.
Gotcha.
But if you did want to try a project JSON file in one of those unsupported project systems, like a console application, you could copy out the names of your packages here along with their versions and add it to a project JSON file and then remove the packages config file. You can try that. No guarantee
I got to be honest. There's another show called Demo of the Day, and we've done the same thing in there where we have gone into a console app and kind of reworked it. And there's an error you get if you put the target framework incorrectly, because you know one of the things you have to put is the framework. And so if you put that number wrong, the build error you get tells you the correct string. And I think it needs to go on record as possibly the best error message Microsoft has ever made.
Wow.
I mean, it tells you how to fix the problem. It's brilliant. I don't know if you're behind that or not, but if you are, I definitely owe you a coffee. It's brilliant add-on.
I can't take credit for that, but I'll definitely take the...
I mean, it says, the string is wrong. This is the right string. I'm like, wow. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. It's just, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just not... No. It must be... He must be a new hire, whoever did that. That is not corporate culture around here, so I don't know what his problem is.
We're definitely seeing that we want to make... My goal with NuGet is really to make it something that you don't have to think about, right? Yeah. I see NuGet as the offensive lineman in the football game of your application. And to make an American football reference here, the only time that you hear an offensive lineman's name in the sport is when they've done something bad. They've been called for a penalty. They've made a mistake. That's when you'll hear the commentators on TV or on the radio talk about an offensive lineman. That's how I want it to be about NuGet. You don't think about it.
Well, this is a NuGet show, and this is not a NuGet's the problem show.
It's not. Those errors, I want to help you so that you don't say, oh, NuGet, there's a mistake here in my NuGet configuration.
Right.
No, no.
Right.
It's helping you get there so that you don't have to think about it.
All right, Jeff. I'm looking at this packages file.
Yeah,
show me the better world.
So this is Project JSON inside of a brand new ASP.NET 5. It's not an ASP.NET Core application yet, right? We're doing that rename right now. This is still the old RC1 version. And look at my list of dependencies to get the exact same MVC application running. Yeah, I've got 14. And really, this last one here on line 22, this is a debug tool called Browser Link that helps me debug and interact with my web browser from Visual Studio. I don't even need that file there.
All right, wait. So, now, there's a lot of syntax change here, and I think it's way more straightforward than a lot of developers might initially think. Let's start with line 2, where you have – actually, let's change line 8 for me. I mean, I know that this is not what it's supposed to be, but make it 1.0.star just for a second.
Sure.
So if we see this inside our Project JSON file, this is saying to NuGet, anytime there's a package update, go get the every time there's a build, what's the right word? Patch. Anytime there's a patch update on that package, go ahead and bring that down no matter what the number, no matter how high it gets. But then, now what we haven't talked about is this interesting right below it, 1.0.0-. That is interesting syntax. Describe what's going on there.
So this is – right. We're really focused on this concept of semantic versioning. And in the 1.0.0 syntax that you see here on the next line, right, this is the major version number of this package. This is the minor version number, and then this is the patch version number. And then this stuff after the dash, this is the pre-release identifier. So we've indicated that this isn't production ready, minus my air quotes here. But if you're interested, you can go get this. You can opt in and say, give me the pre-release packages.
That's right.
And this will come down and be made available to you. And pre-release pre-release extensions here are sorted and added alphabetically. So, right, the other three digits, right, of course, 1.0.0 is less than 2.0.0. But then if you put dash alpha will be the lower version behind dash beta. Similarly, if I have another version sitting out there that is dash RC2.
Awesome. I didn't know about that. That's brilliant.
This version is a higher version than the RC1 version.
Yeah. That is so cool.
But that's how semantic versioning as a concept works. And NuGet enforces and brings that down here.
Now, can you right-click on references, and let's open up the UI and kind of show how you enable, if in the GUI, how you enable this pre-release business.
Sure. So I'm going to, I right clicked on the package and I'm choosing manage NuGet packages. And this is going to open up the new NuGet user interface. And it's going to start off showing me here's the packages that are.
No, you can't installed. You can't leave it at that. Just saying it's the new interface isn't good enough because it is so much, it is such an improvement over the previous one that I think you just need to say this is the. I don't know, something that makes it awesome. Because compared to the old one was really a struggle, and this one is just, it's intuitive, it's smart, it's laid out the way you kind of, in your brain, want it to be laid out anyway. This is such an improvement. I don't know if you are responsible for that one, Jeff, but I actually know that you are. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you. We had a team of three or four that we spent a lot of time going round and round on this to make sure that it delivered a lot of information with we called it high information density inside this user interface.
The number one improvement for me is clearly you're using either, I don't know if it's reactive extensions, but something that measures the time of how long I'm typing in my search box so I don't have to hit go, and you increase that time. Oh, just that alone made me love the UI because I would type, let's say I'm typing MVC, I would type M. Oh, and it searches for MV, and it searches for MV, you know what I mean? But now I can type MVC, and it just searches MVC. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Cool.
I mean, it seems like such silly little candy, but it's the sort of thing that just makes a life better.
It's a usability thing. It's preventing that death by a thousand cuts, you know?
That's right.
So
I do see the include pre-release checkbox.
Yep, so we have an include pre-release checkbox, and it really, we're kind of forced into that model here by default. Because of these packages that are hard-coded referenced inside my project. But I would normally have to turn that on in order to be able to see those packages here. And let me make sure I change my package source. So I have various package sources. I have a local offline copy here for when I'm on an airplane or I'm disconnected from the internet. Well, I'm going to go to the public NuGet.org repository. And it's
that
still
drop down for other developers could be really long because they could to a repository they pay for that they go and get stuff from. They could even have their internal one. That's where you switch between where you go and get it. I've always wondered if I have two packages, one in NuGet.org and one in local, and they have the same name, the same version, how does NuGet know which one to go get?
That's a good question, and the answer is we don't. We make this assumption that in the world of NuGet packages, the combination of package ID and version number is unique
across all repositories. Oh, I see.
Yeah. So, there's nothing keeping you from creating a package in your local repository named ASP.NET.MVC, and it does something completely different from what the one is that's out there in the public repository. However, if you do try and submit it to a public repository, we'll see that somebody else already has that name and block that from being uploaded.
Makes sense to me. Okay, let's keep going with the UI. There's a lot of moving parts here, and it's really cool.
Yeah. So we have on the left here is a list of all the packages that I can search for, and actually these are the list of packages that are installed, and they've got the cool green check here to show that the latest stable version is installed from the NuGet.org repository. I can also choose to go into Browse, and I'll see a list of the most popular packages here, along with the latest version number down the side. Now, with ASP.NET packages, particularly for ASP.NET 5, ASP.NET Core, there's packages that contain CSS or JavaScript libraries that we want to redirect you to use another package manager called Bower. Mm-hmm. So we'll provide this incompatible warning here and encourage you to go get stuff from the Bower package manager. And if you click this, we'll actually open the Bower user interface and allow you to install the Bower version of the Bootstrap package inside your ASP.NET project.
Fascinating. Okay, cool.
Cool. That's kind of encouraging people to use the tools the way that the rest of the web does. But I can scan down here, and you can see the packages that I already have installed are listed here. This is a pre-release, so it's marked as pre-release, and it has the green check to show that, yes, it's currently installed. So I could still scan down and go find whatever I'm looking for, and this has infinite scroll capabilities.
Oh, you can spend your whole lunch hour scrolling.
You could, and and go find out the coolest, latest things. And when I do find packages that I want to install, I can right here click on install and get that version installed in my application. Or I can click on this, come over here, read more about the package, what it depends on. And I can also say, you know what? I don't like that 4.2 version. I can go back and choose a different version that I want to install as well, and then click install.
That's nice. Because at 4.2, they introduced the new something-something, and ever since they did that, I don't really like the API as much.
Exactly. Right? I've got quick access to the information about the project because we made the
URL.
That's
a big deal because you're looking at it, and you're like, man, that's really cool. Is it still alive, right? Are people still using it? And you can go to the project URL and look at issues and see the dates of things. I use that all the time.
Right, they just published an update to this on January 28th. So Jimmy's been busy working on this, and his license is right here also. If my organization wants to make sure that we only include things that are MIT licensed,
right,
and or we don't want GPL licensed things, you can click on the license and get right into that. Have your software license review team take a look and verify that yes, our organization can use these tools. So.
Got it.
All the information you need to use a package in your project, all in one place. Very cool.
This is the bulk of the developer experience who are consuming packages. I don't think we're going to have time on this show to go in and build a package, but I'd like to have you back if you don't mind, because there's a lot of developers out there who realize the value of NuGet as an author and creating the package so that they can put it up into either a public or private catalog. And if you're willing, I'd like to have you back on the show to kind of walk us through how you package it up, you know, this idea of a new spec that kind of defines what's going to be inside that package and all the steps that developers will go through.
Sure, absolutely. For you, Jerry, absolutely.
Cool, Jeff. All right, so that's NuGet. A lot of developers haven't even taken advantage of NuGet, right? They don't even know it exists. Now, hopefully they can see that it's not just local references to DLLs on their disk. They can look out on the web. They can have local NuGet repositories. Let me ask you a quick question. If I go out to NuGet.org and I'm getting those, how much can I trust those packages?
You know what? There's a lot of trust, there's a lot of reliability that we've built into that public service, because the people who upload things there, we're going to check and make sure that the names match up with what they actually say they've put in there. We run antivirus checks against these things because we want to make sure that you're not installing something that's going to, you know, hurt your application.
Some kind of Trojan or something like that.
Yeah. So plus we have a great feedback system where you can email us and say, hey, there's a problem with this package. This isn't working properly. It's not marked up properly. It's supposed to work with .NET 4.5, but it evidently only works with 3.5. So we can handle all of these things, push back on authors and either correct situations or in other scenarios, take them out of the repository. So you get, You've got this.
Nice. That keeps it so that there's some trust.
Yeah.
That's what the T is for.
Jeff, absolutely.
Trustworthy.
There you go. Absolutely.
All right. So if I'm a developer, I'm inside Visual Studio. Now I have this beautiful new NuGet UI that takes care of everything. If I'm inside my project and I see this project.json file and I wonder what it is, hopefully after this show, we have no question what that is. That's all of your references, including the hidden transient references that we have hidden up inside the packages that I'm bringing down so that everything's compatible and not this huge bloat that goes and monkeys with my CS proj file.
Yeah.
So all of these improvements that are along the way. Jeff, thanks for being on the show today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jerry.
We'll see you again.